If y'all would bow with me in prayer. Father, this morning we come to hear from your word. We ask that you would incline our hearts for instruction. Help us to understand more of you. Help us to be taught how to live a life that honors you. Give our hearts a greater passion and love for you. Show us these paths of joy that you've created us to walk in. I ask that you would fill me with your spirit, that I'd only speak your truth, that I'd only speak by your power. I ask this all in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, with the new year, I know a lot of folks do New Year's, well, a few folks do New Year's resolutions. The rest of us just opt out. I often opt out because I know I'm not going to, you know, keep them. So it's better if you just don't make those promises to begin with. And so a lot of us think that way. Some of us think, well, no, this is a good year. I want this year to be better than the last. I want to improve. There are things I want to accomplish. And so some folks like to set goals for themselves. I don't know anybody that thinks, I want a worse year than the year I just had. You know, we all want a better year for ourselves. And so in light of that, I'd like to show you a path this morning here in our passage we're going to be looking at, a path that leads to delight, a path that is delight to walk, because you were created to walk this path. And there's nothing better than doing what you know that you were created to do. And whether you decide to listen to it or submit to it or not this morning, your year this year, 2016, you're going to follow something. Something is going to lead and guide you down a path for life. That may be advice given to you by family members that you grew up with, and those sayings you cherish, and those are what your guiding stars to lead you down the path. Some of you, it's going to be just what your friends and family tell you. You're always asking folks around you, well, what should I do about this or what should I do about that? And that's what you use as your guiding star. For others, it's common sense, and you've got decent common sense, and you know that, and folks have told you that. And so your common sense then is what is going to guide and lead your year this year. And those are not necessarily bad things, but those should not be the primary thing leading and guiding us. I made this mistake whenever I was in middle school. We moved back down to Texas. My dad's a pastor. We planted churches up in Minnesota, and we moved back to Texas. We spent a summer staying with my grandparents, and I grew up running around in the woods out there until we moved off, and so I knew them pretty well. Knew how to get escape my other siblings and get away from them. We were always running away from my little sister and my youngest brother and leaving them left behind because we were too cool and too old to be playing with little kids. And so we'd run off into the woods and try to find stuff to get into out there. And most of the time that went well for us. Well, this particular summer, my brother and I and my cousin, whose names I won't mention for the sake of protecting the identity of the innocent or not so innocent, but we were out in the woods playing, and we decided we were going to go adventuring, and we like to there's a creek that runs behind my grandparents, and it's got a bunch of branches that break off in different directions, but you always know where you're at because the creek's running. There are springs that feed it, and so by the direction of the water and the size of the main creek, Black Creek, that we crossed, you could tell where you were at. You could look at it and know where you're at. Well, this summer it was dry, but we knew the woods, so we thought. And so we decided, well, we'll just cross over. We'll still be able to tell where things are at, you know, and so we went off adventuring. And we crossed over the creek, and we crossed over a branch of the creek, and we crossed over another branch of the creek, and we crossed over a branch of the creek. And then after about an hour, we realized we didn't know where we were at. The creek was dry. We couldn't tell which way it was running. That was always our guide to show us what path we're supposed to take back in the woods. And so we spent about 4 hours in the middle of the thicket. And out there, if you can't really see beyond about 10, 15 feet in front of you. It's called the Big Thicket. Big Thicket National Preserve is actually the area there. It's a national forest. It's protected. And it was a fun night that night. My dad found us about 8 or 9 o'clock. And in the woods, in the summer, even when days are long, it gets dark after 6 o'clock because the trees are so tall and everything. They're down before they hit the horizon. And so I won't tell you if anybody cried or anything like that. Those kind of secrets were sealed with a blood pact and cannot be divulged, but it was not fun, especially in Southeast Texas. And even with it dry like that, there were plenty of mosquitoes. And but we chose a guide that failed us. We had another guide that failed us, a stupid dog that I had. It was a Yankee dog that we got up north. And then when we got down, in fact, it died of a heat stroke, just to tell you. It was a Yankee dog. It didn't know when to get in and out of the sun. The poor dog. I love dogs, but this was a particularly stupid dog we had. And we kept thinking, this dog's going to lead us back. And that just led us deeper and deeper. We were a mile into the Big Thicket. We didn't know that. My dad told us that after he brought us back home. But we were a mile in the Big Thicket because we picked the first guide failed us because it dried up. And the second guide, well, wasn't very smart. It was a dog that really didn't know where it was at and didn't know how to find its way home. And so, but we all do that. You know, if you pick something in life, your common sense will fail you. Look, there are a lot of things that seem like they're a good decision at times. And if you live long enough, you can look back on poor decisions and think, you know, my common sense, my gut, it led me down the wrong path. If it's people around you that are giving you good advice, look, their advice, cheap advice that's free isn't always good. Sometimes it is, but when it's free, you get what you pay for. Because sometimes people advise you, and they may have given you good advice 99% of the time, but that one time, it was bad advice. You got to make sure that you're picking a guide that's going to lead you in a path that isn't going to fail, that isn't going to lead you where you're lost in the middle of nowhere, realizing that you made some really poor decisions. And so the passage we're at in this morning is going to show us the guides that we're to follow if we're going to follow a path that leads to delight. And so if you would stand for the reading of God's word, we're going to be in Psalms 119. We'll be reading verses 33 through 40. The psalmist writes, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts, and in your righteousness, give me life." You may be seated. And so this passage really is going to tell you for this year, and Lord willing, the rest of your life, what guides you should follow if you're going to follow the path of God's commandments, if you're going to find delight in the path the Lord has created you to live in. Because we've all been created and wired to live life a certain way. And so who better to show us how we're to live this life than our Creator? And He reveals it here in His Word. And so there are two guides that we're going to look at this morning that lead us in a path of delight. One is going to be fairly obvious. And so as you can tell in our title, and this entire psalm is dedicated to celebrating God's Word. And so that's our first guide. We're actually going to look at that second. So that's the most obvious one. But the first guide is one that it's not so obvious. And so as you're reading through this, I spent a while reading over this and thinking, well, okay, I see God's word here. I know that that's a good guide to show us the path that we're to walk, the path that leads to delight. Okay, God, what's the second? What else is here? And as I read over this passage again and again, you notice, who is this directed to? Now, it's directed for us. It was written down so we could read it. So in a sense, it's directed to me and you. But who is this directed to? Teach me, O Lord. This is a prayer. The second guide, and the first one we're going to actually do and talk about, that it's going to lead us in the path that we're to walk is prayer. This whole passage reveals something about what prayer should look like in the lives of those who want to walk in a path of delight, who want to be restored in their created purpose, who want to live life as they were created to live it. Prayer is the key to walking that path. And you see that through every single passage here, because they're all directed to the Lord, and they reveal something about you and what we need from God. Look at this first one. It says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes." Well, you know what he's confessing there. He's confessing that he's not very teachable a lot. He's pretty hard-headed. Sometimes it takes learning things the hard way for things to get through to his thick skull. I don't know about you, but that describes me a lot of times. Amen. All right. Melissa can attest to that. But that teaches me. And we think we know it. You know, especially those of us who've been in church a long time, we think we've got it figured out. You know, God, he wants us to come. He wants us to give. He wants us to get involved some. And then just, you know, not do a lot of bad things during the week. Well, yes, but the Christian life is more than just that. The Christian life is meant for you to celebrate the things that God's done in your life every day, the things that he's created, to celebrate him and what he's done for you. And the truth is, we need to be taught this every day. The things that we know, we don't always know. We don't live like we know, right? This is revealed in the second verse here, the verse 34. "Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it." You know, just because we know something doesn't mean that we do it, right? I love Dale's rules for a happy marriage. He's not here, but I've got them written down because we joke about them so much among our core group. You know, Dale's five rules for a happy marriage are: yes, dear, I'm sorry, dear, you're right, dear, I love you, dear, and how can I make it better? Those are the five rules. Guys, if you'll get that figured out, you'll have a happy marriage. And so this is a reoccurring joke that we use here in the church. But the reason why it's funny is because those rules that we can know, and I've been able to memorize them, and I don't know that I've got them down. Just because you know them doesn't mean you do them, right? And so what the psalmist is writing here in declaring to God, "Look, teach me your ways, but give me understanding. Because just because I know it doesn't mean that I apply it." And so when you've been in church a long time, there are a lot of things you can point to. Well, I need to be praying. I need to be in the Word. I need to be sharing Jesus. I need to be living a life that makes much of God. And I need to be doing this. And I need to be doing that. You can know these things, but that doesn't mean that you're going to do them. You need God to show you why it's important for you to do these things. And you have to ask for that, because we're all prone to run away from it. We're all prone to find excuses. We're all prone to, "Well, I know that, but," and we're always find that we are the exception. But prayer is the guide that leads us to the path that says, "God, show me. Show me how I'm supposed to live my life, so that I can observe it and keep your commandments, your laws, with my whole heart." Because those things that God commands, they're not just rules God makes because he wants to make your life difficult and he doesn't want you to have any fun. But the rules, they're actually how you were wired and created. They're mandates, they're commands, they're precepts given to you to show you how to live life, how you were created to live it to the fullest. But we just don't always believe that. And so we have to cry out to God to give us understanding. We pray to him out of need, out of desperation, to show us and give us understanding so that we can live them, so that we can apply them. And it goes so much deeper here. "Lead me in the path of your commandments," because you know what? Even if we know it, even if we know why we're supposed to do it, sometimes in applying it, we stop short. We start off our day with good intentions. We leave a service thinking, "I'm going to go and do this." And then somewhere along the way, it's not that we didn't know better. It's not that we don't see why we're supposed to do it. It just doesn't get done. And what the psalmist is revealing here in his prayer to God is that we need to ask God to help us in carrying out the things we're to do. We're not strong enough. We think we are. We think that we've got all the things that we need to do what we need to do. And the truth is, when it comes to living this life, the life of faith, the path of delight, to live the life you've been created to do, you're not resourceful enough. You're not. If you think that you are, you've already deviated from the path. You picked a guide that's going to dry up on you. Or a guide that's stupid and isn't going to lead you back to the house. And that guide is you. We're not resourceful enough. We're not strong enough. That's why we need prayer. We have to ask God to lead us in carrying out this life. And it goes even further than that. It goes further than just a head knowledge or a strength. Look what he says. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from worthless things. What is he confessing to God there? That his problem isn't just that he needs to be taught things. He's not always that teachable. It's not just, well, I don't always know why I need to do them, so God, show me why. It's not just, well, I don't have the strength to carry these out, so I need you to lead them in. It's, God, sometimes I don't want to do the things that you want me to do. Sometimes I don't even want you. I've got a wicked, wicked heart that's selfish, and sometimes I just want what I want. Sometimes I want things that don't last, that aren't eternal, that don't really matter, but I want it and I want it now. That's what he's confessing in his prayer. And he says, God, I know what's inside me. Change me. And if we're to live a life, we're going to stop there and go to our second thing here in a second. We're going to stop at verse 37. Yeah. And just point out that without prayer, this kind of prayer, a prayer that has a sense of need, a prayer that recognizes that, you know what, we're not very teachable very often. And when we are, we don't always understand why we need to do things because we don't do them. And even when we know what we're supposed to do and we know why we're supposed to do it, we still don't do it because we don't always have the strength to accomplish what we're supposed to do. Even worse than that, a lot of the times we don't even want anything to do with God or the life he's called us to live. We could care less that we have a created purpose that's greater than ourselves, that actually is the key to living a full and satisfied life. We don't care. And so what we have to do is pray. We have to ask God for these things every day. This is a daily struggle. This is a daily battle. This is what your prayer life ought to look like. That you're asking God to teach you. You're asking God to give you the wise. You're asking God to give you the strength. You're asking God to give you the heart. We pray because we don't always feel like living for Jesus. We don't always feel like walking a path of delight, a path that we were created to walk. And so my challenge to you this morning is not only do you need this today, right now, right this second, my challenge to you is make a New Year's resolution. Commit this year to making this kind of prayer a part of your life. Because without it, you're picking a guide that will lead you down a path that is not one that you've been created for. It's a lesser path. It'll be a path of temporary pleasures that will eventually run dry. Make a resolution this year to make this kind of prayer. And I challenge you to jot down this reference. Read over these verses to remind you what you need to be praying for and the nature of your prayer life. And if you don't have a prayer life, guess what that shows? Your guide is not God. It's something else. If this doesn't characterize your prayer life. But it goes even further than that. So you can be praying for these things all day long, but if you're not actually finding this, God's actually giving you answers and resources and ways that he talks to you to give you these things, right? These things are not just nebulous things you're asking for that may or may not be answered. He's given you his revealed word so that you would see exactly what you need as you pray these things. Prayer without scripture is a one-way conversation. And you're not going to hear much from God. Prayer is supposed to mean a dialogue between you and God as you confess, as you praise Him, as you pour out your heart and ask these things, and God responds through His Word. Because, back to the top, God shows us how the way of His statutes. He shows us how He wants to live life. He shows us what is good and what is evil. He shows us the laws that He wants us to keep, that we're to love Him and we're to love others, and we're actually third on the list. Our lives are supposed to be about Him first and foremost, about other people, and about us last. We see in verse 35 that these paths of commandments, actually, once we get our heart in the right place, are a beautiful thing because they reflect God. He's able to delight in them because He sees God in these passages. These testimonies, when it talks about testimony here, we see records of God's faithfulness. We know that we can trust Him. We know that we can believe Him. We know that He is trustworthy because we read about the things that He has done for the people who've trusted in Him. We read about how faithful God has been to people who've not been so faithful. We see all of this, and it's revealed in His Word so that we can be reminded that God is true even when we are not. God is faithful even when we fail. God is forgiving even when we don't deserve it. All these things are revealed about God in His Word. And we have to be constantly reminded of it because we're so forgetful. Not only that, here in verse 36 and 37, as he says, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways." We cannot see God as beautiful or worth giving up the selfish things we want to pursue unless we're looking at Him in His Word, because God's Word reveals God's glory. You can see the glory of God if you're willing and open and praying for God to reveal it to you through His Word. God's beauty, His majesty, is all here in God's Word. And it's accessible to you. It's probably sitting somewhere in your home. It's on your phones. I'll get to that application here in a little bit. But you can just pull it up on your phone. And you, if you are in the right mindset, if you are asking God, if you are pursuing Him, can behold some glory. I think in it, this contains the very glory of God. Will you experience it, though? You have to pray for that. You have to look for that. But if you're not looking for it, you won't experience it. The reason why we turn to events and activities and retreats for experiences that reveal to us the glory of God is because somebody has done the hard work of taking Scripture and making it alive. And so you go to a retreat and they talk about these truths about God. They're in His Word. Right? You could have accessed them before you went to that thing. The retreat, the revival, the worship experience. Somebody has done the hard work of taking these truths and opening up to them so that they're beautiful to you. But the truth is that you have the opportunity every single day to behold the glory of God. But will you? Because if you're not willing to pursue this guide, you won't find the delight. You'll only find a dry stream as a guide and temporary pleasures that run dry. Look, this passage even comes together with both of these things, both of these elements, prayer and Scripture in the last three verses. Confirm to your servant your promise. What has He promised? He's promised that one day He will destroy the curse. We see that in Genesis 3. That one day someone will be born of the woman and crush the serpent's head. That there will be a promise that will come through Abraham that will be fulfilled, that will be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. We see through David that this promise expands even more, that there will be someone who will be an heir to the throne of David, who will sit on the throne and reign over God's creation forever, being the king that we all need, being the just and right king to set all the world right, to turn away the curse and to bless every nation on the face of the earth. He says, confirm your promise that you may be feared. God's confirmed that promise to you and I. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We know through the Word that this prayer can be answered. It can be answered for you because you know what? Sometimes we're not in awe of God. That's what the fear here is talking about. Being in awe of God, being amazed at His majesty and glory, seeing His glory on the page and experiencing it. Do you know that God's promises have been confirmed to you because He sent His Son to fulfill them, to die on a cross and raise again so that you might have them as your very own? This promise has been confirmed to you, and it's testified in God's Word. Why does He want Him to confirm this promise? So that He knows His sins will be forgiven, that the punishment He deserves will be taken away. In verse 39, turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. When I read your Word, I realize I fall short. I don't do this. I don't walk the paths of delight. I am prone to chase after worthless things. My heart is inclined to selfish gain and not you. And I deserve punishment. That's what David's saying. He's saying, but I want you to confirm your promise so that I know my reproach will be removed. And God has confirmed His promise to you by sending His Son so that you know, because He died on a cross, your sins are forgiven. They're taken away. And He rose again on the third day so that you can know that you have God's favor. That when God looks at you, He sees the perfect work of His Son. You're forgiven. But you only see that when you pray for God to help you experience that truth. And you only see that truth when you look to His Word and are reminded of it. And finally, He says here in verse 40, behold, I long for your precepts. I long to live this life. I want this. But I know that it's only in your righteousness that I have life. He says, in your righteousness, give me life. I don't deserve life. Because if it was on my righteousness and what I've accomplished with my own two hands, well, you've already seen what I've confessed here. I would fall short. I don't deserve life. I deserve death. But I know what kind of God you are because of your Word. And I am asking you in your righteousness, in your goodness, in your majesty, in your glory, in the fact that you are merciful, you are gracious, you are slow to anger, you are relenting in wrath, and you are steadfast, you are abounding in steadfast love. Because I know these things, I know what kind of God you are, give me life. And we know that we have life. Because He sent His Son. You can know you have life this morning if you have Christ, if you've trusted in Him and the work that He's done on your behalf. His sacrifice on the cross to pay for the sins that you've committed. His resurrection from the dead to give you life with Him now, so that you can experience His glory today, so that you can have a vibrant walk with God that's full of delight and full of joy and full of thankfulness, which are fruits of the Spirit. You should have. This is the kind of year I long for you to have. I long for me to have. But this kind of path that we're to walk in can't be walked in if you don't have a proper guide. So this morning, I'm asking you, as you begin this new year, that you would make a resolution this year. That prayer, this type of prayer, and I encourage you, write these passages down. Psalms 119, 33 through 40, so that you can be reminded of what kind of prayer your prayer life ought to have. Make a resolution this year to cultivate. It takes practice. It takes work. This doesn't come naturally to us because we want to just ask what we want, say amen, and go about our business and feel like we've done something. But the kind of prayer that's required for us to walk in a path of delight is this kind of prayer. A prayer that's full of need and desperation for God to do a work in our minds, in our actions, and in our hearts. Make a resolution this year for this to be a part of your daily routine. I'm going to push you even further, though, because if you are just doing that, that's not enough, because you're only going to have a one-way conversation with God. But you need to commit this year with that to be in the Word so that you can see the glories of God, so that He can speak to you, so He can show you what kind of life He's called you to live, what He's created you to live out. And there's some practical helps for that. We have the open windows. We offer that every quarter. There's a new one here outside the office. You can grab those. Those are free for anyone who wants one. And they have Bible reading plans for the year and devotions to help you kind of dig into the Word a little bit, see more about what it has to say about God and what it has to say about your life. I'd also encourage you, as we wrap up this morning, you'll notice that we have our announcements that tick through. If you're somebody who uses a smartphone and, man, I just don't have time to open my Bible, but you do find time to be on your smartphone during the day, which is most of us who have a smartphone, there's an app called Everyday Bible, and it automatically every day has the passages pulled up for you to read the Bible through for the whole year. And so they'll have a passage from the New Testament, a passage from the Old Testament, and a passage from the Psalms, Proverbs, and Song of Solomon, the wisdom literature. And so you can read through the Bible through the year, and you don't even have to turn a page. You just have to log into your phone and open an app. It's really that easy. It's not inaccessible. There it is right there. I'd encourage you this year to make a resolution to do this. And look, let's just be candid with one another this morning. If you make a resolution to do this, this is one of my resolutions this year to do this. I'm currently using this app to read through the Bible so that you can hold me accountable. I hope to hold you accountable on this. There are going to be days that you miss. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to miss some days. It's going to happen. Things are going to get crazy. You're going to forget. And guess what? Jesus died to forgive you and to empower you to move forward. Make up the time that you missed and move ahead. Don't beat yourself up. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead so that when we fall on our face, we don't run from God, we run to Him. And make this commitment for your life this year, for the sake of your joy, for the sake of your delight in doing what God's created you to do. Now, maybe this morning you realize that, man, I don't know that I've ever started this journey. I don't know that I've ever trusted in God. This is all sounds foreign to me. I've just thought that, you know, my good could outweigh my bad, that I've got this handled, that somehow by doing certain things, me and God are good. And through hearing this morning and this prayer that David prayed, I realize that I really don't have anything to offer. I need Jesus. I want you to walk away this morning knowing that you have life in Him. So during our time of invitation, I ask that you would come forward and talk with me. If you're not comfortable doing that, find me after the service. But I want to make sure that you leave this place knowing that you have life in Him, and that He's given you everything that you need to walk a path of delight. If you would stand, I'm going to pray over you. And then we're going to have our time of invitation. Father, this morning we confess to you that our hearts are not always where they need to be. We don't always desire you. We don't always pursue after you. A lot of times we would just rather want what we want and want it now. Change our hearts this morning. Help us to see what we were created to be. Help us to see that you've given us everything that we need to accomplish that. Help us to see that you are worth it this morning. I pray that you would help us to commit to following the good guides that you've given us, the gift of prayer, the gift of your word, so that we would be able to walk this path of delight. May this year be a year of delight for your people, I pray. Amen.